Thank you. Yeah, let's stand and honor the Lord as we read here from Leviticus 19. We started here last week. We're going to start here again tonight, today, this morning. Feels like night. Leviticus 19, 23. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten. But in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord. And in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit. In the fourth year, it's holy, it's a praise to the Lord. And in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I am the Lord your God. We honor him. We honor him. In the fourth year, it's a holy praise to the Lord. In the fifth year, you get to eat. Some of you are frustrated and you're mad, like, Lord, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I need more. It's like, he's just saying, just trust me. Just trust me. The fifth year is coming. Let's pray. Let's seek him today. Let's go after him. We're going to run hard. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord. Right now, we just open ourselves up to you. Any place in our hearts where there has been dishonor, where there has been rebellion to you, to your word, to your authority. Lord, any place where there has been distrust, we haven't trusted you. We haven't put our faith in you. Lord, I pray that you would reveal that today. Father God, I pray that your children today, that we would get in alignment with you. That as we come back into your house today, as we worship you, as we praise you, that we would find peace, provision, power, everything we need, that it comes from you. Jesus, any place where we've been restless or lacking or searching for something, Lord, I pray that you would be that key to unlock everything in our lives. Such a sense of restlessness for some in this room. Restlessness leads to rebellion. Lord, we are not children of rebellion. We're yours. Lord, teach us today how to walk in your ways, how to walk in your path, how to honor you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. I was talking to a young dad back there before service, and we just started praying together, and I started praying over him that the Lord would just reveal to him the key to unlock. He just kind of described it. It feels like there's a dam. There's something blocking up, like the release of what he believes God wants to do in his life, in his family's life, provision, everything. And so we were just praying, and I just prayed, Lord, let the key be released. Let it be released today in Jesus' name. And then I'm sitting up here worshiping, and he just reminds me, it's honor. Honor is the key. My children still need to learn what honor means, what it looks like. We have to keep learning it. We live in a society, in a world where we don't understand honor. We don't get it. We really don't. There's going to be a greater revelation of honor today. The eyes are going to be opened. The veil is going to be torn, and we're going to see, oh, this is that key for me. Everybody's got a key in here today. There's a key for you today that you can leave with. There's a key. There's a place that is significant where he wants you to learn how to walk in honor. He's going to give you that key today. Just ask him. Say, Jesus, I want the key. You can put your hand out right now. Say, Jesus, please give me the key today. I want the key. In Jesus' name, there's going to be keys dropping today. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Genesis 14. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew. At this point, Abram and Lot was Abram's nephew. They had gone their separate ways. They had grown. They had prospered. They were too prosperous for the land they were in, so each went one way. We've talked about this story. We've shared it. You've probably read it a time or two. All of a sudden, some kings come, and they take Lot and his family. They take everybody captive. Somebody escapes. And they came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. We just had bread and wine today. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he, being Abram, gave him a tithe of all. What's the tithe? It's 10%. He gave this priest of God Most High a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.'" Don't compromise with the world today. Don't compromise with the world today. Don't take anything from the world. The Lord's your provider. "Except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." Melchizedek comes out. He blesses Abram, and he reminds him of something there. "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Don't forget who your deliverer is. Sometimes we get free, we get saved, and all of a sudden, like for the first time, like the chains come off, the scales come off the eyes, all of a sudden there's something happening, and you're like, "Oh my goodness, life is good, I'm blessed." And you're beginning to walk with him and walk with him, and then all of a sudden, about a month into it, 2 months into it, 6 months into it, a year into walking with the Lord, all of a sudden you wake up one Sunday and you're like, I think I'm good. I'm a little tired. I don't think I need to go today. Or maybe there's a month where things feel a little tight, and you've been giving, you've been tithing, but you're kind of like, "Well, I could use a little extra this month. Things are tight. Christmas is coming up. I need to, you know, I kind of need this for myself." And you begin to forget. That's where the beginning of forgetting starts. When you start to take him for granted, the one who delivered you, the one who saved you, the one who set you free, the one who opened your eyes. Don't forget today who the Lord your God is. Don't forget today who the Lord your God is. He's good. He's the deliverer. He's the one who set you free from the enemies. And all of a sudden, you start walking in the world and start to think like your freedom and your joy and everything you got going on is because of you. "Oh, I won the battle. I won the victory. I'm doing good because I'm just that good." No, he set you free. He delivered you. That's what tithing reminds us of. Every time we tithe, we talk about this all the time. Every time we tithe, it reminds us of who we honor. Do you honor yourselves or do you honor the Lord? If you're not tithing 10%, you honor yourself more than the Lord. You do. Just be honest about it. Just begin to get honest with yourself. Look at the checkbook, look at your finances, and just be really honest. "Oh, I honor myself. I honor my ways. I honor my desires over the Lord's." Abram could have said, oh, we went out and fought the battle. We went out and fought the victory. Me and my 318 men. 318 is not very many. They were outnumbered in this battle, and God gave them the victory. Do not forget who's given you the victory in life. Don't forget. It starts with being in the house, being with God's people. In Hebrews, it says, do not neglect the gathering together of God's people. What happened in 2020? All of a sudden, we got really comfortable neglecting the gathering together of God's people. We said, oh, I can just do it on a screen. That's the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not. There's something powerful that happens when you gather together with God's people. Today, you're going to sense it. You're going to experience it. You're going to feel it for yourself. Today, you're going to have a moment where you're like, my goodness, this couldn't have happened at home on a screen by myself. It's because I was in the body today. I was planted in the house of the Lord. And it says in Psalm 92, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will be fresh and flourishing all the days of their life, producing good fruit. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? Stay planted in the house of the Lord. The devil wants to convince you, oh, no, you don't need that. I got this for you. You can just watch it. You can watch it on YouTube. You can catch a little bit of anointing. You can catch some of the oil, but it's different when you get there in person. There's a difference between a drop and a jar being dumped on you. Can you imagine a jar of olive oil just being dumped over your head? That's what Jake was talking about that. He was experiencing the presence and power of God today during worship, and he was like, this is what I've been needing all week. You can step into his presence every day. Seek him. Find him. Come to Encounter Night this week. Seek him and find him. He desires you. Abram honors God by giving him the first. And then he could have kept more, but he actually gives it away because he never wants anyone to say, oh, I made him rich. I made him who he is today. No, it will be the Lord. Let the Lord be your provider. He loves you. He cares for you. He'll open the windows of heaven. Begin to trust him. There's some of you can testify in here. You've been tithing for a while, and you've seen his provision in your life, and you know it's supernatural. It's supernatural. How God is moving, how he's providing, how he's doing a good work in your life. Don't forget that today. Amen. Here we go. Oof. I feel a stiffness and a staleness in here. And so I just want to say this right now. The Lord loves you. He cares for you. The Holy Spirit is going to move and speak. His word never returns void. Every time we open up the word, there's a promise there. It will never return void. There is seed being sown today that will change eternity. And so where there's a stiff neck, I just pray for somebody's stiff neck to be released today, for pride to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. We're covered by the blood. Lean in today for what he has for you. He's going to set you free. He's going to heal you. He's going to deliver you. Let him. He's good. Daniel 2. Some of these verses, they're from last week. It's the same notes as last week. I didn't get very far last week. I made it like three verses in. You can text Rev Notes to the number 94,000 if you want the notes. If you got last week's, you got today's. Daniel 2, verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and seasons. He changes the times and seasons. Sometimes we think, oh, we can change the times and seasons. If I do the right things, or if I give, or if I show up, and if I do this, I can. Really, what you think you're doing, you think, oh, if I just do all these things, I can get God to do what I want him to do. That's manipulation. That's witchcraft. That's control. That's not how it works. It's seed time and harvest. He changes the seasons. You might not be satisfied in your season right now. You better learn to be satisfied, because he's probably waiting to turn the clock until you learn the lesson of being satisfied in the season you're planted in right now. He's like, I want to open the door, but you just keep looking forward to the next door, and you haven't learned to live in this season right here, right now. You better learn to take care of this season. Steward it. Steward it. Some of you are like, oh, I'm not happy in my marriage right now. It's tough. It's difficult. I just want to get to the other side of it. Well, you better fight for it right now. You better fight for your marriage. Because the devil's going to give you a little shortcut, a little cheat code and say, oh, you can move on to the next season. It's over here with her or it's over here with him. It wasn't with that person. They weren't the right person. If you're in marriage, you're in a covenant, you're with the right person. Don't let the devil tell you anything else. Marriages won't be, my goodness, in my time here leading this church in 4 years, we haven't had one divorce. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This church has been going 4 years. May it never be. Not in this house. Not in this house, because we fight for it here. Choices lead, feelings follow. You might wake up one day and kind of feel like, oh, I don't feel so good about him. I don't feel so good about her. Tell your feelings to shut up. Tell those demons, tell those liars, take those thoughts captive from the enemy, and you make them obedient to Christ. I'm in covenant. I'm going to honor my husband. I'm going to honor my wife. Because the Lord said to honor. Get out of here. He's good. I spent another 14 years in ministry for a long time. I saw a lot of divorce. I saw a lot of heartbreak. I saw a lot of suicide. I haven't seen that in 4 years here. Oh, some people are kind of questioning right now, like, oh, man, are we doing things? Are we doing things the right way? Or is there a better way? Or is it better over here? It's like, no, look what the Lord's doing. The Lord is showing up. The Lord is showing up and moving because his people are learning to honor and walk with him and listen to his voice. If you will honor him today and honor his word, not just the parts you like, but even the parts that are difficult and challenging, guess what? He's going to change your life. That's the key. There's a key for everyone today. It's honor. Who is it? Is it for your husband? Is it for your wife? Is it for your friends? Is it for, who is it? Is it for your leaders? Is it for your boss? Is it for the president? Is it for the governor? Who is it that you've been dishonoring? Look at this. Daniel 2, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and seasons. Not you, because you did this or because you gave this or because you said this. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. All authority is established by the Lord. You're like, even Joe Biden? I don't know. Sorry. Bad joke. Oh. Even whoever. You fill in the blank. I don't care. Like, he raises up the kings. He takes them down. He removes them. He decides. Sometimes you're like, well, why would he put such an ungodly person in charge right now of our country or in charge of this, in charge of this country or this business or whatever? Maybe he's given the people what they've asked for. You ever thought about that? Maybe if his people would rend their hearts and repent and return to him, he would give them a godly king. So many times when you read through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, or you read through Judges, what's he do? He gives the people over to their desires. You desire to serve yourself, to serve your feelings, to serve your flesh? Okay, here you go. I'm going to take my hands off. What's he doing? He's handing them over to Satan. He's handing them over to the devil. This is what you wanted. You didn't like my way. You didn't like my word. You didn't like what it said about sexuality. You didn't like what it said about marriage. You didn't like what it said about divorce. You didn't like that. So here you go. Go your own way. And look what happens. Societies are destroyed until the people rend their hearts and repent and turn back to the Lord. Fight for it. Revival starts with repentance. Revival's not one time on a Sunday. Revival's not one time on a Wednesday night. Revival's not a conference. Revival's not whatever you think it is. It's not a moment. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a lifestyle, and you got to fight for it every day. You got to fight for it. Well, we got some fighters in here. I feel that. I feel that. I said there's some staleness and stiffness in here before. Now I feel the Spirit moving. I feel somebody just got their anointing, and you just said, yeah, I'm going to fight for it. I'm not giving up. I'm not walking away. I'm not quitting. I'm going to fight for it. Whatever the Lord says, I'm going to fight for it. There's some fighters in here today. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus right now. Praise him. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. He knows what's going on in the darkness right now. There's some of you think you can hide what's going on in the dark. You think, man, there's some of you, like, you think, oh, no, I look good on the outside. I know the language. I know how to look. I know how to speak. He knows what's going on in the darkness. You might be saying all the right things to all the right people, and it might look good, but he is inviting you into the light today because there's freedom in the light. You don't have to live in the darkness today. And you're like, but I got this nice image. I'm respected. I'm like, people honor me. People love me. People look at me. I can't repent and confess to that. I can't bring that out into the light. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's freedom in confession and repentance. There's also healing in confession and repentance. It says that in James. When you confess your sins and pray, there's healing. It says that in James 5. Some of you are like, why am I sick? Why am I sick? Maybe today the Lord is inviting you in to confession and repentance. And some of you are like, well, I've done that with him. I don't need to bring it out to anybody else. Do you know what James 5 says? Go to James 5. Go to James 5. Look at it here. It's right after Hebrews. Before Revelation. Back of your Bible. I don't hear any pages. You guys got to start bringing your Bibles again. There you go. Hey, let me hear some pages. That should be the background noise of every healthy church. It's good. Confess your trespasses, 5 verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Why am I sick? Why am I struggling with this? Confess your trespasses to one another. Some of you are like, you want prayer for the healing, but you don't want to confess. There's power in confession. When you bring it out into the light, there's healing. Why am I sick? Why am I sick? Because you've been hiding something. You don't have to hide it anymore. live life with no secrets. I read that in Soul Care a few years ago. Rob Reimer, Dr. Rob Reimer. He said, live life with no secrets. And I was like, oh my goodness. I've been living my life with a lot of secrets. I had. I was in ministry. I did youth ministry. I was a campus pastor. I did all these things. And everything looked good on Sunday morning. Everything looked good on Wednesday night. But there was still some stuff that I was like, I can't tell anybody that. I can't tell people like I'm struggling in that. I can't tell people like that's hard for me or that's difficult. I can't talk to people about that. Confess your sins to one another. There's healing. There's power in living life with no secrets. Do you know what that, I mean, some of you might know what that's like. Some of you have no clue yet because there's still some stuff that you've kind of held back from maybe your spouse or a friend or you've never talked with anybody about. I want you today, if you're in marriage, give each other as spouses permission today. Listen, if you got anything you want to come clean about, I'm not going to hold it against you because I know Jesus doesn't hold it against you. If you want to bring that out of the darkness and into the light, like spouses, give your spouse permission today. Just say, hey, I just want you to know, you can talk to me. If you're struggling, if you feel like you're hiding something, like I want to walk through this together. Because there is nothing like living life with no secrets. It's more freedom than you ever thought possible. I lived so much of my life with secrets. So much of it. And all of a sudden, when I thought the worst day ever, when somebody started telling people all my secrets and started bringing it out into the light, and started, you know, I was like, they're snitching on me, they're ratting on me. You know, I was a high schooler. I was mad. I was ticked off. I thought it was the worst day of my life. I look back and I'm like, no, that was the best day of my life. Because I started to get more free than I ever realized possible because I wasn't trying to carry the weight of hiding anything anymore. It's a heavy weight. Come out from that weight today. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. There's a lightness to Jesus. He wants to set you free. Romans 13:1. Let every subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Some of you are just like, "What? Why is my life so hard?" You're probably bringing judgment on yourself because you are kicking against the authority in your life. You're just butting your head up against them. You're always resistant. You're always just kind of, "Oh, man, this is terrible. This is bad. I can't believe they're doing this." I don't know who it is. It might be your husband. It might be your boss. It might be me. Guess what? In this house, I'm the authority. The Lord has called me and sent me. And some of you, there might be a few of you in here, and you're like, "If I was in charge, if I was the pastor, I would do this." And I'm telling you, I love you and I care for you. If you want to have a conversation, come have a conversation with me. Like, we'll talk about it. But I just want you to know, you might be bringing judgment on yourself because the Lord establishes authority. And I don't want that for you. In any area of life, wherever it is that you've been struggling with some type of authority, I'm just warning you today, you might be bringing judgment on yourself. And you're wondering, why is my life so hard? He's saying, "I'm giving you the key right here, son. I'm giving you the key right here, daughter. Do it my way." I said it last week. I shared this story. I went to this party for some friends, my wife and I. It was a baby shower. And we walk up to the door, and there's a sign. You know, I shared this story last week. Some of you missed last week. I'll share it again. And there's a sign that says, "Take your shoes off at the door." And I'm just like so offended and insulted, like, "Who are you to tell me to do that? I want to wear my shoes." You know, what was that? Rebellion. Is it my house? Kayla, I love you. I'm sorry. Tell your sister I'm sorry if she watches the sermons. And so I'm like, who are you to tell me this? And the Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock, and he said, "Was it your house?" That was her house. She can set the rules. She's the authority. Her and her husband are the authority of that house. If you want to be in that house at that party with all your friends, you better honor the authority that's established there. And what did I do? I went in and I was like just making little jokes like, "Oh yeah, we got to take our shoes off." Like just being, what did I say last week? A donkey, like just being a donkey, like I was. Just being a pain, like trying to be funny, like joking with my friends because I, you know, sometimes I like to make people laugh. And then the Lord wakes me up at 2 o'clock and he's like, "That was her house. That was their house. If you want to be there in the house planted with your friends, then you better honor the authority that's established in that house." You wanted to be there with your friends, right? And there's some of you today, you love this house, you love this church, and you're planted with your friends and you got great relationships, but you're kind of like, "Oh, I don't like Pastor Alex. Oh, he says mean stuff sometimes. Oh my gosh. Oh. Pastor Steph's a lot nicer." Yeah, she is. Go talk to her. She is a lot nicer. If you got a problem, I'll talk with you. I love you. You want to be here with your friends? The Lord's established the authority. And some of you are like, "Well, I don't really like it. I don't agree with everything." If he's called you here, if you're planted here, well, you better figure it out. Otherwise, you're going to bring judgment on yourself. I don't want judgment on you. I don't want that for you. I want good things for you. I want good things for the people in this house. He wants good things for you. But when you fight against the authority that God has established and you cause rebellion or dissatisfaction or restlessness in God's people, he's going to bring judgment on you. I said it last week. I'll say it again. Look at the story of David and Absalom. Look at the story of David and Absalom, his son who killed his brother because his brother slept with his sister. The Old Testament's a mess. It's crazy. And so Absalom kills his brother for doing that, and then he goes on the run, and then he eventually wants to come back home. And so he comes back home, and David forgives him, but he doesn't let him really near. And then Absalom finally, what's he do? He stirs up some problems. He causes some issues, and then all of a sudden David gives him permission to kind of be near again. And what does he do? The first thing he does when he's able to get near the kingdom again in close proximity, he goes and he sits at the gate. The gate of the city is where people would sit because it was the place where everyone walked in and out. It was the most traveled place. And he would go there and he would sit and he would just kind of talk to people as they came in. Hey, what are you here for today? What are you here for today? And people would come in and be like, well, this is going on or this is going on. And he would just, what was he doing? He was just asking, you got any problems? You got any issues? And they'd be like, well, yeah, now that you mention it, I do. That's why sometimes surveys are the stupidest thing. It's like sometimes nobody has a problem or an issue, but then you have a survey and you're like, hey, are there any problems or issues with this or that? And all of a sudden people that were like just fine and like loving everything are like, well, yeah, maybe there are problems. Maybe there are issues. I should probably make up some right now. Like, what was he doing? He was seeding division. And they would tell Absalom his problem, their problems, their issues. And then Absalom would say, oh, that's just too bad. If I was in charge, if I was king, he was seeding division until eventually he raised up people to turn against King David. If you got people in your life that are saying that, if I was boss, if I was in charge, if I was the lead, if I was doing this, just say, no, no, no. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to be a part of that. I'm a man or I'm a woman that walks in honor. Everyone that thinks that rebellion, it doesn't feel like rebellion. In the moment, you're like, oh, it's just like, we're just kind of helping each other. We're just sharing our issues. It's cathartic. No, what you're doing is you're stirring up division and rebellion. You might have a friend. I said this last week. I'll say it again. You might have a friend at work, and she listens to all your problems that you and your wife are having. And she's like, if I was your wife, I'd treat you better. Run from that girl. Run. If I was your husband, I'd treat you better. Run. Run from that. Don't give the devil a foothold. The devil is always trying to use people to stir up rebellion. As God's holy and chosen people, don't become an instrument for him. If you got a problem, if you got an issue, what does Matthew 18 say? Matthew 18 says, go and talk to the person. If you have a problem or an issue, go and talk to that person. Stop talking to somebody about your husband and go talk to your husband. Stop talking to your coworker about your boss. Go see if you can talk to your boss. Go see, hey, can we have a conversation? Can we sit down and talk? Rebellion feels like a shortcut in the moment, and it doesn't feel like rebellion. It just feels like, oh, we're just trying to make things better. We're just trying to improve things. And it feels like a shortcut to seeing the results you want. But it actually will lead to your demise. It will. It will bring judgment on your head. It might work and kind of feel good and feel right for a short season. And things might be, oh, things are going good. Things are getting better. We got that boss out of here. We got him fired. Absalom, he got David out of there. David had to leave with some of the people that were loyal to him. He wasn't king for a season. Do you know who ends up being king later on, though? Not Absalom. He ends up dead. He brought judgment on himself. He was king for a short season, but he brought judgment on himself. It always feels like a shortcut, but it's rebellion, and it brings judgment on you. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist God will bring judgment on themselves. Don't forget that one. Lock that one in today. That might be your key today. Well, I've been resisting. I've been rebellious. I've been doing something, and I've been causing disunity, and it's causing issues. That might be the key today for you. Colossians 3, verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart. Thank you. Appreciate that. But in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Some of you are like, you don't understand. You don't understand who I'm married to. You don't understand who I work for. You don't understand who I have to obey, who I have to honor, whoever that is. Don't do it for them. Do it for the Lord. Because he establishes all authority. And so even though you might disagree with them, you might not like them, you might think they're wrong or they're off, you're actually honoring the Lord who establishes all authority in that moment. Now, there's a place, we talked about this a couple, I think this was last year. There's a place where holy rebellion is allowed. When somebody asks you or demands of you that you do something that goes against God's word, you honor the authority up into that place. And if they get to that place where they're asking you to do something that goes against his word, okay, well, at that place, that is where there is a holy rebellion. There's room to say no. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told to bow and worship the idol by their authority, that's the place where there's room for holy rebellion. You have to discern that. How do you discern that? You got to get into the word. You got to know the word so you know that place, so you know those lines where it crosses over from honoring the Lord and walking in disobedience. Whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Man, devil doesn't want me to speak about this. He doesn't. This is important. This is a key today. This will unlock things in your life that have been locked where you feel like, I haven't seen God move. I haven't seen him provide. I haven't seen him do this. It's because you've been bringing judgment on yourself and walking in dishonor. Figure out today which one of these verses is for you that he's saying, this is what you need to learn today. You need to walk away and be changed by my word today. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. There's a reward for honor. When you walk in honor, in fact, I think we got this book out there by John Bevere, Honor's Reward. When you walk in a life of honor, there is a reward. God will set you apart. He will raise you up. What did he do? In the book of Daniel, he raised up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel into high places in that kingdom. Why? Because they honored the Lord and people saw the fruit and the wisdom of their life. When you walk in honor, it will set you apart in your workplace, in your family, in your marriages, in your friendships, and it will actually raise you up. And so where you thought at one time you needed a shortcut and you needed to kind of like, I need to get this boss fired, or I need to get out of this marriage, or I need to, whatever your shortcut you thought it might be, if you actually begin to walk in honor, you're going to actually see God change and transform everything in your life. I just heard a testimony recently from a woman who said she's so shocked at how God is working in her husband's life right now and how much more open he's becoming to the things of God. Why? Because she's a woman of honor. And in a year of honor, she's learned to just keep honoring the Lord, even when you don't see the results you want right away, and trusting seed time and harvest. She's sowing seeds of honor, and there is a harvest of righteousness and honor that is being returned, that is coming to fruition. Seed time and harvest. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. There's no favorites. There's no partiality. There's no, I kind of like you. You didn't really walk in honor, but I really like you. So here, I'll still give you the reward. I won't punish you. No, there's no partiality. There's no. Don't believe that. We're going to close here. Judges 9. Judges 9 is the story of another son who is rebellious. We had Absalom. Now we got Abimelech. God raises up all these great judges, and God uses them to do great things. One of the judges was Gideon. Gideon had 70 sons during his lifetime. One of those sons was to a concubine from Shechem. His name was Abimelech. One of 70. Abimelech, it says in verse 1, the son of Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, he went to Shechem to his mother's brothers, and he spoke with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, please speak in the hearing of the men of Shechem. Which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal reign over you, or that one reign over you? Remember that I am your own flesh and bone. What's he doing? He's seeding rebellion right here. He's saying, listen, Gideon had 70 sons. Do you want all of them to reign over you? Me, my mom, she's one of you. She's from Shechem. Wouldn't it be better if I just reigned over you? Wouldn't it be better if I was in charge? Wouldn't it be better if I was the leader, right? It'd be better. I'll show you favor. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. They won't do that. There's a lie from the devil sometimes. The devil tries to seed rebellion by trying to find some kind of commonality and saying that they don't know, they don't understand, but me, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. That's the devil. He walks around like a lion looking for whom he can devour. His mother's brothers spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem, and their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech. For they said, he is our brother. So they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah, and he killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Gideon, on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal of Gideon, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. Here he is. He took the shortcut. He had 70 brothers that he had to share the rule with, or that he had to wait to die off one by one before he could step into what he wanted, what he desired, to have authority. And instead, he takes the shortcut, and he hires worthless and reckless men to cut down his 70 brothers. And there's one left. Verse 7. I was just sitting with the Lord 2 weeks ago, and I just sat in my office, and I said, Lord, where do you want me to turn today? And he said, Judges 9. I was like, what is Judges 9? I hadn't been in Judges in a minute. I hadn't read this for a minute, but I read this that day, and I said, Lord, I know that's from you. This is from him today. It's for you today. Now, when they told Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and cried out, and he said to them, listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I cease giving my oil, with which they honor God and men? Should I cease doing this and go to sway over the trees, to lead over the trees? So then the trees said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over trees, to lead over trees? Then the trees said to the vine. They ran out of trees. They had to go to a vine. They went to the vine, and they said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go to sway over trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now, therefore, if you acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done to him as he deserves, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, but you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the men of Shechem because he is your brother. Not because he was called, not because he was anointed, but because he was your brother. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Beer, and he dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. I love this parable because it shows us the trees that knew and understood God's plan and purpose for them. Do you understand that? The trees went to the, where did it go? It went to the olive tree first and said, "Will you rule over us?" And the olive tree knew its plan and purpose. No. If I go and rule over you, if I go and lead, then who will produce the oil that honors God and men? They go to the fig tree. They said, "You come and reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over trees?" It understood God's plan and purpose for its life. The vine said to them, "Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go to sway over trees?" And so what happens? They settle for the bramble. They settle for the bramble to lead over them. And the bramble says, "Yes. If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." This is what rebellion does. Rebellion settles for an authority that is like them, that is similar to them, that they think that really they can control and they can have a little bit of power and influence, or they think, "Oh, if we give it to them, that's somebody we can agree with." And what happens? Go to the end of that story, and both Abimelech and the people are consumed by fire. Things are good for a couple years. Things are fine. He's king. He gets what he wants. But eventually the people rebel against him. The same people that he led in rebellion against his brothers rebel against him. Rebellion breeds rebellion. Rebellion is a seed. Some of you are frustrated and mad and angry because it feels like nobody listens to you, nobody honors you, nobody respects you. What kind of seed are you sowing? Are you sowing seed of honor in your own life, or are you sowing seed of rebellion? If you're sowing rebellion, you're going to reap rebellion. That's what happened to Abimelech. He sowed rebellion, and it was good for a while, but then what happened? The people came and rebelled against him. They killed each other off in a battle against each other. Rebellion feels right because in the moment it feels like a shortcut to get what you want, what you desire, but it leads in death. It does not lead in the life that God has called you to. Honor is the key. Don't forget that today. Honor is the key. You're the cedars of Lebanon. Put that image up. You guys got that image up there? Yeah. They're the cedars of Lebanon. Cedars grow to be 60 to 100 feet. And here they go, looking to the olive tree to be their king, looking to the fig tree to be their king. And then they settle for the vine, and then they settle for the bramble. It's a bush. It's used for fire. Dried out bramble was just thrown in the fire. It was kindling. and they bow down and worship what God created to be burned. And we bow down and worship what God created to be burned. We bow down and worship the creature rather than the creator. Don't settle for that today. Honor the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Honor's the key today. It's going to unlock everything in your life. Honor him today. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't settle for Bramble. That we'd remember who you called us to be, who you created us to be. That we'd remember that you've given us a plan and a purpose. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. And so, Lord, if there's any area where we've been in rebellion to you, to your word, I just pray today would be a day of repentance, that we would just turn back to you, that we would just honor you. If there's any kind of sickness, any kind of injury, anything wrong within us right now, that we would take this moment to confess to one another, that we would find somebody that we can trust in. Maybe we find somebody on the ministry team. We find a friend, a family member. We just confess today. We bring it out into the light, and we make a vow to say, I want to live life with no secrets today. That there would be confession and repentance and healing today, all in Jesus' name. That each and every one of us would realize who God has called us to be and created us to be. That we would understand that there's a plan and a purpose. That we would understand our identity, that we're cedars. That we would stop bowing to the bramble, and that we would only bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.